أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة، وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار، وإن منها لما يشقق فيخرج منه الماء، وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله، وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're up to ayah number 74 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jal just talked about the incident of the calf, the cow that had to be slaughtered. And at the end of that, what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions is, فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. Strike some part of that flesh with the rest of the corpse. When you strike that part of the flesh, Allah will bring that corpse back to life, and it'll point to the killer. So that's the summary of the story. But Allah Azza wa Jal just mentions, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. That is how Allah gives life back to the dead. And this is a very interesting statement to make, because one of the lessons in that is, it is by Allah's command that life is given after death. Now, whatever that command may be in the form of slaughtering a cow, it may be in the form of kun fayakun, it may be in the form of water coming from the sky and the dead earth coming back to life, but that is how Allah gives back life back to death. In other words, He brings life in a way you cannot understand. So, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And He shows you His miraculous signs so that you may come to understand. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Really interesting language. He says, He shows you the ayat so you can understand. Of course, understanding is something that's up here. It's an intellectual thing. Then immediately He says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Then your hearts became hard. This afternoon I mentioned to those of you who were present, there are two faculties. There's our heart and there's our mind. First Allah questioned, why don't you think? Which is a faculty of the intellect. And immediately He said, there's a reason why you can't think straight. Because it's not that you have an intellectual problem, the real difficulty with you guys is you have a spiritual problem. Your hearts became hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Here we learn something, I'll simplify it as much as I possibly can. The relationship between our heart and our mind. Our minds, they process things. We calculate with our mind. We analyze with our mind. We understand things with our mind. We memorize, we learn, things like that. We do this with our minds. And our minds progressively develop. In other words, the mind of a child that's 4 is less advanced. And when he becomes 6 or 7 or 8 or 10, it starts getting more and more advanced. And when that same person becomes 20, their mind has matured. And when they become 30 and 40, it's matured even more. So the mind is something that's constantly growing and maturing and learning more and more, acquiring more and more. However, the heart is a different kind of entity. The heart doesn't mature or grow, the heart fluctuates. Some days you'll have really good days as far as remembering Allah and being cautious of Allah, and other days will be really bad. You have up and down in the heart. And the heart can become hard and the heart can become soft. It can die, it can come back to life, etc. Right? So on the one hand you have this entity that matures, and on the other hand you have this entity that inside of us that is very volatile. It's very, you know, a fragile entity, which is our hearts. We have to take care of this heart. So in other words, you know how sometimes the khatib will give a khutbah about something you've heard 1,000 times, and the first thing that goes on in your head is, man, I already know this. I don't need to hear this again. I already know this. Well, you know it up here. Your mind understands it, but what still needs it? The heart still needs it. The heart needs the reminder. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ فَذَكْرِ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Reminder has benefit for the hearts. Now, the thing is though, the question is, as far as the Qur'an's picture of human psychology, when you and I make a decision, does that decision come from the mind or does it come from the heart? It's a very interesting philosophical question. Well, how do we make our decisions? And the answer to that is actually a combination of both, but the heart is in the driver's seat. The heart is actually in the driver's seat as far as the Qur'an's picture of this thing is concerned. So let me give you just a couple of quick examples of that. You can have, for example, a young boy, you know, a teenager, goes to high school. All of his friends smoke. I'll just leave it at smoke. What they smoke, we won't talk about, okay? So he smokes. Now he takes in high school you're supposed to take a health class, right? So he takes a health class, and in health class he learns that smoking is really bad for your health, it can cause this and this kind of cancer, these kinds of narcotics can have these impacts on the brain, and it can result in these kinds of disorders, etc., etc., etc. And he's a smart kid, so he gets an A in health class. In other words, when he takes the questionnaire that has 100 questions about the harms of smoking, he answers all of them correctly. And when he goes to the store with his fake ID to buy a pack of stogies, on the side of the cigarettes, you know what it says? The Surgeon General asks you to have taqwa, and because the smoking will lead to cancer, don't smoke, you know. The Surgeon General will tell you on the pack of the cigarettes itself, right? But does he still smoke? He still smokes. If you ask him, do you understand the harms of smoking over here in your mind? Do you understand them? Have you come to understand completely even the science of the harm in smoking every single puff? He'll say, yeah, I get it. I understand. Then you ask him, so why do you smoke? Well, we all do it together. I like it. Meaning he won't give you an intellectual answer. They might even say, I don't know. I just like it. They might say something as casual as that. But let me give you that same kid's example. So he's at home in his room upstairs smoking. And he sees his dad's car pull up into the driveway. What happens next? The cigarette goes into the toilet, flush, air freshener, a couple of gum in the mouth. The Surgeon General was not able to scare him of cancer. But the dad pulls his car up into the driveway, and all of a sudden that's enough for him to be convinced that smoking is bad for my health. How come? Because he has fear of his father where? In the heart. If you don't have fear in your heart, then even if you know it's bad for you, you'll still do it. You will do in the end what you want. Now, another example of this, one more worldly example, then I'll give you a religious example. Another worldly example is you can have a young man or woman or a young student in college that is, they love entertainment. They love movies, they love basketball, they love sports, they love these things, they love entertaining themselves. But it's exam season, right? So it's time for exams. Now, nobody enjoys taking exams. But in his heart, he is convinced that he wants to be a doctor, or he wants to get a 4.0 GPA, or he wants to make his parents proud. In his heart, he's absolutely convinced that's the goal he wants to achieve. For that goal, he will sacrifice his entertainment, he will stay up all night and study the textbook, and keep it wherever he goes with him, right? He'll do all of that, he'll sacrifice all of that, he'll apply the best of his mind where? Where his heart wants him to apply it. So the heart decides, that's what I want to acquire, and then the mind submits, and the mind gives its best efforts to acquire that. In other words, the greatest scientist doesn't become the greatest scientist just by thinking or studying hard. It's because they want to become a great scientist. And that want and that drive comes from the heart. That's a spiritual drive. Okay? Now, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions their hearts became hard. The religious example I wanted to give you. Allah has acknowledged in Surah Al-Baqarah and other places that the Israelites at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were incredibly intelligent people. They're very, very smart people. They understand, they recognize. Later on in the latter half of this surah, we're going to learn when they see the Messenger, they know him as well as them recognizing their own children. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Even when they change the book, there's one thing to change the book. You didn't realize it's God's book, so I changed it. I'm sorry. I didn't think I could. I thought I could edit it because it's human speech. Allah says, no, يُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِن بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوهُ. They changed it even after they understood it. In other words, Allah is giving them credit that they actually understood. But what's the problem? There's no problem here. Actually, we even have hadith narrations where the rabbi sent his son to meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go find out if he's the one being promised in our books. So he spends time with the Messenger and comes back and he says, so what did you find? He says, there's no doubt about it, that's the guy. That's the final Messenger. And they both swear, we swear till our death we will oppose him. Right? Because their heart is not willing to accept a Gentile. A child of Ismail alayhi salam is not willing to accept it. So Allah says, now at the end of all of this, you understood that he's Allah's messenger. You understood Allah gives life back after death. You understood that it can only be Allah who parts the water so you can cross. You understood that the water coming out of the boulder can only be from Allah. But that was all up here. It never entered where? In here. It never entered the heart. And so even after seeing all of that, these things were supposed to melt your heart. But even these things could not, a dead guy coming back to life, if you have kind of weak iman in Allah and you see a dead guy coming back to life by Allah's command in front of your eyes, you would say, you know what, astaghfirullah al-azim, I will take the rest of these last 3-4 days of Ramadan more seriously. Right? Your iman would get straight. But these guys, Allah says, even after that, مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, even after that, your hearts became hard. Then he says, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ, then they became like stone. Now the thing with stone is a very interesting parable that Allah gives. We don't have time to go into details about it now. We'll go into full detail after, inshallah ta'ala, the Taraweeh prayer tonight. But ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, I'll roughly translate for you and leave you the riddle so you can, inshallah ta'ala, we can address the riddle in completion later on tonight. Your hearts became hard like a boulder, like stones. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً, or they became even tougher and more intense in their stiffness than stone. So now Allah says two things. Your hearts are hard as stone, which is bad enough. But then He adds, no, you know what? They might even be worse than stones. And He doesn't stop there. He says, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ, even out of stones there are those from which water explodes out, gushes out, rivers gush out. You know, like waterfalls coming out of rocks and boulders? Allah is giving the example of that, that even stones can compromise. But your hearts were even worse than stones. Then He gives that, so the first kind of stone He mentions is the one that explodes and you know, waterfalls and springs come out of them. The second kind of stone. He says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ, even out of stones there are those who crack open. They're hit hard and they crack open in and of themselves, they break. And what is found from inside, what comes out of them is water. So the first example was springs coming out of a rock. The second is the rock cracks open and what do you find inside? You still find some water. The thing to ask is which example had more water? The springs coming out or the water being found inside the rock? The springs coming out, that's more water. Now He mentions less water. Then He gives a third example of rocks, three kinds of rocks. He says, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, and even out of stones there are those that descend, that collapse. You ever seen like an earthquake, and maybe in a video or something, a landslide? So the rocks that are at the top of the cliff start collapsing and falling down, right? And they're rolling their way down the hill. So He says, there are even out of stones that collapse and fall from the fear of Allah. مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. How many kinds of rocks do we have in this ayah? Three kinds of rocks, right? We have the rocks that gush into springs, we have the rocks that water comes out of, and the rocks that fall from, you know, from fall because of the fear of Allah. The question though is, what's the point of mentioning these three kinds of rocks? What is the benefit? What does that have to do with the rest of this conversation? What does Allah Azza wa Jal mean by these three rocks? Allah Azza wa Jal says in another place, He says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. These are examples we give for people, nobody understands them except people who have knowledge. In other words, these examples that Allah gives, in this case it's the example of rocks, you know, three different kinds of rocks. These examples are supposed to make us ponder and reflect and do research, make, you know, pursue knowledge. And until we do, you're not going to be able to understand them. You're not, because it's not something you can just casually read and say, I get it, three kinds of rocks, that's cool. It doesn't work like that. It's something that requires pondering and reflection. So inshallah ta'ala, this, I'm not going to tell you what those three rocks mean yet. But I will share with you what scholars have said, inshallah ta'ala, after Taraweeh tonight, what Allah Azza wa Jalla means by these rocks, and what that has to do with this conversation that is happening in regards to Bani Israel. And so I'll conclude with the conclusion of the ayah, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not unaware at all in regards to what you're doing. In other words, He didn't say what you did do, what you continue to do. Allah is not unaware, not heedless at all. BarakAllahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.